Welcome to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging, hosted by Wendy Jones, here on WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Each week, Wendy is joined by special guests, trusted experts, and spiritual advisors who offer practical resources, compassionate guidance, and hope for those caring for aging parents and loved ones. And now, here's Wendy.
I'm your host, Wendy Jones. Thank you for tuning in to our first episode of Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging on WMUC. Welcome to our program where the objective is simple, to talk about your tomorrow, today. Throughout life, we spend countless hours planning for the future. We plan who we hope to become, whom we'll marry, the careers we'll pursue, the families we'll build, and the retirement we've worked so hard to achieve. But there's one stage of life that often receives far less attention, the years between retirement and the end of life. Those years can be some of the most meaningful, yet they also bring important decisions about health, finances, independence, purpose, and legacy. On this program, we'll have the conversations that too often get postponed, offering insights, resources, and practical guidance to help you prepare for tomorrow, starting today. And I am extremely blessed to have a guest in the studio today with us who I've known for years. We go way back.
Way back.
His name is Mike Rakowski. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Wendy, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so blessed to have you here. Rakowski Law Firm. And the reason, obviously, Mike is here is because one of the biggest questions we get is, how do I plan for the future?
Yeah, estate planning.
Right? Do I need a will? Do I need a trust? Like, what? How does it all work? And, you know, we get this question every single day and every single time. Guess who I call? The guy sitting next to me.
Yeah, that's it.
So Mike and I, has it been at least 14 years?
At least. Crazy.
I mean, the fact that your babies were born and now they're like in high school.
We're in high school. It's
big
crazy.
Indicator.
Totally.
So let's talk a little bit about this, because this is a really pivotal time in people's lives when they're planning. Tell us a little bit about like the difference between a will and a trust. So for example, everyone thinks will is the gold standard and we need to have a will.
Hands down. That's what TV, media, everything teaches us. And I think we should take one step back and just like, what is estate planning? Like what are we even trying to accomplish here? And it's, you know, when someone thinks about estate planning, the number one thing that comes to mind is like, who's going to get my stuff, right? Like I have all this stuff. I've got household furnishings, I've got bank accounts, maybe a house, whatever the case may be, but like, how am I going to make sure my kids or whoever I want to get this stuff gets my stuff? That's typically what most people are thinking about first. And regardless of what you do or don't do, it eventually will go to someone. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you don't do any intentional planning yourself, the state in which you're living has a plan for you.
Right?
Like there's this thing called the probate court. If you've ever heard of that, I mean, I'm probably, you know, seeing people shaking their heads right now, because if you've ever been through that process,
No one wants to go through that.
Most people are calling our office because they have some personal experience with it. They've heard the horror stories and they're like, how can we never do that? So what happens to your stuff essentially is there's the probate court. If you don't have a plan, where your state is going to have some kind of laws or statute that says who gets your stuff in the event that you pass away. Let me give you the example of what happens in Michigan if you don't have a plan. So if you pass away in Michigan with assets in your name personally without some kind of estate plan, what's going to happen is your spouse will get approximately the first $200,000 in assets. Then it's going to start splitting between your spouse and kids. And I'm like, who wrote this rule?
Right.
I've done thousands and thousands of estate plans.
A guy who's probably never been married.
Yeah, right. Maybe, you know, or it's some lawyers like, I'm going to make sure we keep lawyers in business, right? Because I've never written a plan like that in my life. Most people are to my spouse for everything. And then after my spouse passes, equally to my kids. Maybe there's some subtle variations to that. But there's very few situations ever where someone's like, oh, yeah, I'm only going to give a small portion to my spouse. I wanted to, you know, start going to the kids immediately when one spouse passes away. Like, who wrote this rule?
Exactly.
So at minimum, you need something that says, I want it done differently. And that's where it's so important to take these steps and do planning, because you get to make all these decisions. You get to make the decisions on who gets your stuff. You get to decide who's going to handle who gets your stuff.
Exactly.
Right? Like
big decision.
Yeah. So you get to decide. You know, you might have a more organized child of the three or two that you have, right? Maybe your kids have this dynamic between them where you're like, I don't want to rock that boat. So I'm going to appoint a third party trustee, you know, maybe have a corporate trustee or a fiduciary or someone else.
How often do you see that happening? Just out of curiosity.
You know, that's a good question. I would say one out of 20. One out of 20. And the only time I ever recommend it, because there's typically fees that come along with it, is if there's some kind of family dynamic that warrants it.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
10 kids. Oh. This guy's got 10, and I'm not even kidding you. That's a real story.
It's not like one couldn't do it, but I hear you. I totally hear you. You know, just take it out of their hands because, you know, a trend I've really seen lately, which is really interesting, and maybe it's just like as I've been doing this for so long or whatever, but one of the main goals of families is harmony of the kids.
Yes.
After mom and dad are gone. It seemed to be initially more about the who's getting the stuff and the protecting of the assets and all these other things we can do. But for whatever reason, in the last 6 months, I've heard that those words out of more families' mouths about my main goal is to make sure that when this is all done and the dust settles,
they're still talking.
They're still talking. Because we've seen it the other way a million times.
As have I.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
Oh, it's
I mean, worst. Sometimes they're not even talking while they're still alive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, just fighting over the care, yeah. Fighting over what they're going to do. That is not how it was designed.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Yeah. So there are definitely things we can do within an estate plan. You know, one thing that we do in our office, which I think is a little unique, is like we invite everyone to the table. So while we're doing planning, we'd be happy to have the kids all come in. You know, so that we're all on the same page. They know that they can utilize us as a resource as they're kind of navigating things. Because most people think the most difficult thing is going to be transitioning assets from parents to kids. When in reality, the hardest thing the family's going to have to deal with is the decline of their parents' ability to do things, lose their independence, not being able to live at home by themselves. I mean, you see this every day.
Every day.
Every day, right? Now we can go right into powers of attorney if we want, but you know, like there's tools and things that we can put in place to make that part of the journey a lot easier.
Before you get there,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Got
because,
it.
Oh, if there is one thing, it is always please have the conversation early.
Yeah.
Please, 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 while you can. And you nailed it at the very beginning. It's because you want to make the decision.
Yeah.
You don't want someone else doing it for you. So I just encourage people listening, definitely have these conversations even way before you get there.
Way before you get there.
I mean.
Way before you get there.
Yeah.
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 And there's lots of families that want to keep this kind of close to them, like not share a lot with their kids. But my recommendation would be the
transparency.
More transparency, get everyone involved. Make sure that everyone's on the same page. Know who the resources are to go to because, like I was just saying, navigating the challenges during someone's life is 10 times harder than just figuring out who's getting the stuff afterwards. And if you can set it up so that we can all work as a team through that, the distribution of assets, we all know what it was going to be before. We're all on the same page as to what's there. Like it's just really cutting checks at that point.
You know, as we're talking, I'm thinking, I actually had a lady ask me once, she said, well, what age do you do that at?
Yeah.
And I was like, good question. But here's the thing, you do it while you're healthy.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that was my answer. And if you're 60 and you're healthy, I'd say do it.
Yeah.
If you're 70 and you're still healthy, do it. You want to do it as early as you can.
Yeah.
Don't wait, right?
Yeah.
Because once that decline starts, everyone's in denial.
Yeah.
The whole family usually is in denial.
Yeah, there's really two groups of people that are thinking estate planning. There's the young families who are having kids who know they need to do something, right? And then there's like retirement age, get my ducks in a row because I'm like navigating, you know, the 401k and stuff from retirement. So then there's that group too. Those are probably the biggest groups of people we see, but like no one's invincible. We've worked 100%. With so many families that have, you know, significant declines in health in their 50s. I don't know what's in the water these days, but it just seems like so much more
younger and younger. Yeah. And no man knows the day or the hour. And that's what the Bible says. So we need to be prepared. I would love you to touch on power of attorney for just a second.
Yeah. Great question. So before we were talking about like who's get your stuff, and that would be like wills and trusts. And we can dive into a little bit more of what the difference is and those things. But powers of attorney are two tools available to you. They give you the ability that if you can't make decisions for yourself during your lifetime, you get to pick who makes those decisions and what decisions they can make. Because if we don't have these in place, now someone's got to go to the court and petition them for guardianship, which you're going to see as we're talking here today.
I got a story. We'll talk about it in the next segment.
You want to keep the court out of all this, whether it's, you know, incapacity planning, who gets your assets. The court is just time consuming and expensive, and it just really fuels the fire when it comes to fighting amongst family members. So that medical and financial power of attorney, although, you know, everyone jumps right to like the who's going to get my stuff in estate planning, those are the two most powerful tools, in my opinion, that we do. And you got to make sure they're good because, you know, you might not use them for 5, 10, 15 years. And if they don't have the appropriate powers or whatever, you don't want to be in a situation where they're not accepted. You know, they're not accepted by the bank. They're not accepted by the hospital. So that's where it's, you want to make sure like these online documents and stuff, like if they're not what they need to be, they're not going to work. And then someone's in the court getting guardianship.
If there is one thing I recommend, it is going through an elder law attorney like Mike Rakowski, because you can try to figure everything out on Google. Guess what? It's like less than 50% accurate.
Yeah, right.
Just saying.
Right.
Like you need a real person to sit in front of, have the conversation, and do it the right way. And the other thing I see happening a lot, Mike, in our business is it switches and people forget. People don't change it. Yeah. They don't update it. Their wife dies and they don't update the paperwork. 100%. So these are things that we're all going to talk about. So stay tuned because we're going to talk about this in the next segment. You're listening to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging.
We'll be right back with more Conversations on Aging here on WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging on WMUZ. Here's your host, Wendy Jones.
Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging. I'm here with Mike Rakowski, and so blessed to have you back in the studio. Mike and I have done a ton of shows together over the years, and just so much knowledge. And you've got two offices, correct?
Yeah.
And you do a lot of online, too.
Oh, we do so much online. COVID changed everything for us.
COVID changed everything for the world, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, we still do 85% of all of our meetings online, which is crazy. I mean, we offer it both ways, but people just love estate planning in their pajamas. I don't know. It's just wild.
Listen, it's a difficult thing to do and to be comfortable in your own home doing it is probably fantastic.
Yeah. And what has been really cool, though, is the ability to bring in family, right? Because now you got your kid in Colorado, you got your daughter in New York, and now we're having a meeting all together. Maybe the parents are in person, but we got them on the screen. And so technology is just like, you know,
advanced everything.
Yeah. It's
so that's good. One good thing that came out of COVID.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather meet with people all day, but if their choice is virtual, it works.
Whatever works.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So I loved how when we were in the first segment, you said something about you bring the family in. And I really do, and you said it again, I really think it's critical.
Critical.
Because it's shocking how many things the kids just don't know.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons. No judgment on anybody. Yeah. But when you're sitting around a table having this conversation and all this is coming out, it's like, fantastic, because it finally brings unification.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page at the same time with the same results.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is I've seen kids get their feelings hurt when they're not appointed as the power of attorney or trustee initially. Like when mom's health and dad's health is great and they do their planning and they get told like they're second in order. Oh,
they're offended.
But what's funny is once it comes time to do it, they're always like,
whew. Oh, I'm so glad it's not me.
So glad it's not me, because it's a lot. It really is. So I think what's so helpful, though, is to have them all together and explain, here are the decisions we made. Here's why we made those decisions. Daughter, you live in New York, where the son lives right down the street. Like, it just makes a little bit more sense. And oh, by the way, let's talk about what those responsibilities are when it comes time to act. And next thing you know, the daughter's like, yeah, great. No problem.
Well, at the end of the day, what's so cool about what you just said is 70% of the time, the eldest daughter takes on the role.
Mm.
70% of the time. Or the daughter. Let's just say there's three in the family, two boys and a girl. It's usually the daughter. Now, of course, if you have two sons, it's usually the eldest son.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me on the daughter thing. Mm-hmm. I've never actually kept track of that. So now you got me curious. I'm gonna monitor this a little more. I do know that most families go oldest. There's just a fairness thing that most people say oldest to youngest. And I'm like, but hold on. Let's talk about
what... Is it the right person?
Is it the right person?
Because, and that's why we need someone like you to share this information.
Let's at least talk it through. My job is to just, you know, educate and advise. It's totally up to the family and what they want to do, though.
Exactly. And speaking of this, I just want to share this story because I have a gentleman and a wife right now. Wife has dementia, and he's taking care of her, and they have 10 children.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot. Right. Yeah. I was like, did you do anything else?
I wanted more. I wish we had a couple more.
But you and me both. You're not 10. I actually had 6 foster kids just because I wanted more children and wanted to change people's lives. But anyway, that was a sidebar. So at the end of the day, what happened is all of these children, the mom fell, and the children stepped in right away because nobody was kind of assigned any authority within the 10 and said, hey, you know, dad can't take care of
So still a spouse in the picture, but
they're talking amongst each other. Now, you know, there's 5 or 6 that talk to one, you know, and then the other 5 think something different. But at the end of the day, they actually got a guardian for the mom because they were like, maybe dad's not doing a great job.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult if the mom and dad would have sat down with the tribe, I'm going to say, right, before anything, before they were even,
Did APS get involved with this?
Yes.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yes, they did because, you know, something happened and the kids called and said, I don't think my dad's taking care of my mom. And that APS needs to get involved if that's the case. But in this one, I don't think that it was.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, for example, a guardian was appointed to the mom.
Yeah.
To take care of her kids.
It's so disappointing with so many family members.
And then you've got a husband that's like, wait a minute, this is my wife. We've been married 60 years.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, had there been some good documented estate plan, like a good power of attorney, where the court could have looked at that to say, all right, here's what mom's wishes were back when she could make decisions for herself. She wanted spouse, then she wanted kids in order, 10 through 1 or whatever it's going to be. But the court would have looked at that and said, okay, maybe dad's not the best, but let's go to the next successor power of attorney because that's what mom wanted. But what I'm hearing out of you is there was none of that.
Nothing.
And so,
and no advanced care directive. Oh, don't you need that too?
You need it all. Yeah. Yeah. Medical, financial, you need all of that stuff buttoned up because I'm sure what the court said is, well, this is an interesting case. We've got 11 different people all arguing about what should happen. So I know what I'm going to do. We're going to take the authority from all of them and do some court appointed attorney, which is super unfortunate because now you got this person involved, never met the family in their life, making decisions.
Life-changing decisions
that you may or may not agree with, probably don't, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you got to pay for it on top of that.
Exactly, and that's what the husband's doing.
Yeah.
And now he has no control.
You have to pay attorney fees. You can avoid all of this by just documenting what you want to happen the right way.
Amen. That's so if crazy. You've taken away one thing from the program today, and we're only halfway through, I'm just saying, please do this in advance. I encourage the parents to have the conversation. And this is true story. If the parents don't have the conversation, guess who's having it? The kids are doing it amongst themselves, and that is never a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, why did mom appoint you? Where am I at on the list?
Yeah, right. I know. And you know, we always focus on wills and trusts. But like, as we've just talked about, these documents are so important. Financial power of attorney, medical power of attorney, that will make the lives of all the family members just so much easier if there's clear direction on what that person wants, who's supposed to be the decision maker. They can act quickly too, because you got to remember, if you don't have this in place, it might take 4 to 6 weeks to get a guardian in place. So there's going to be that gap, that time where no one can make a decision. No kid can make a decision. Spouse can't make a decision. We're relying on the court, and the courts are always backed up. And you're looking
good luck, right?
Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks, where a power of attorney can act immediately.
Exactly.
Show the document and you can do it.
So advanced care directive, power of attorney, will, what other documents are?
Yeah. So, and let's be clear on that. There's a lot of different words for the same thing, right? There's a financial power of attorney. There's a durable power of attorney. These are all different words for a document that allows someone to make financial decisions for someone, pay bills, sell the home, sell assets, manage money, do all those things. Okay. Then there's the medical side of it. It's called a healthcare proxy. It's called a medical power of attorney. It's called a patient advocate designation. The only thing in what you said that's a little bit different is something called a living will. So a living will is your end of life decisions if ever in a coma or vegetative state. So you really want all three of those to have a comprehensive, like, incapacity plan, power of attorney, both medical and financial, and then a living will. That would really cover everything.
Right.
Yeah.
There's more to the story, but that's the basics that I think are the most important right now.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's will and trust. And I know that's probably like the number one question we get in our office is like, what's the difference between a will and a trust? And I know we're just running.
No. You can do it.
So, okay.
Because this is important.
Super important. Four basic differences between wills and trusts. The first is every will must go through probate. And the interesting thing is that TV, media, it all teaches us that the will is, you said it, like it's the gold standard in estate planning. It's the thing we all need. We picture someone, you know, taking out a scroll when we pass away and reading it to the family. None of that happens, by the way. But so every will, a will is just like evidence of what you want to happen that must be submitted to a judge. And then it's up to the judge whether they follow it or not. A trust avoids all of that. So a trust keeps you out of the probate court. Why you don't want to go to the probate court is for everything that we've already talked about. Plus, it's super time consuming and expensive. It usually costs between 5 to 10% of the total value of the estate. So just total everything up and 5 to 10% out the window. And then it also takes somewhere between 9 to 18 months before a judge is going to release those assets. So everything is frozen.
Paused. Yeah.
Yeah. Kids are paying for funeral expenses, bills, all that stuff, hoping to get reimbursed one day. Okay. So that's the first big difference. Probate for wills, no probate for trusts. Second is because wills go through probate, they're public record and everyone can see, you know, what is that exactly happening? How much is in the estate? Who's fighting over what? This is why when we read about celebrities, when they do terrible estate planning, it's very entertaining to us because we get to see who's fighting over the $25 million or whatever.
Right.
But for you and I, what makes it so important is that this is where the family fighting can happen because everyone is aware
of. It's published.
It's all published, right? And we have to send out something to everyone in your family saying it's called a notice to interested parties. There has to be a letter out to your entire family to say, hey, in 6 months from now, there's going to be a hearing in the probate court. If you feel like you deserve any of the money, come on down.
Oh, I see nothing but trouble with this.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that's number two.
Yeah,
it's published.
So that's number two.
Publicly.
Number three is the flexibility in the distribution of assets. So under a trust, we can delay those distributions maybe to age increments. You know, I've got young kids, so maybe they can use it for college and medical expenses and all this stuff. Until they reach a certain age, at that point in time, it's like an ATM machine. It's now yours, right? Where a will is just an ATM machine. Just as soon as the judge says so, it's yours and you can use it for whatever you want. And the final thing is asset protection. There's things that we can do to protect assets in a trust. We can't do that in a will. And I can get into that a little bit more later.
I would love if you could share your number, Mike.
248-792-9193.
You've heard it here. Mike Rakowski, Rakowski Law Firm. You're listening to Next Steps for Seniors Conversations on Aging. Stay tuned because we'll be right back with you.
Caring for an aging loved one can bring a lot of questions. We're here to help. There's more Next Steps for Seniors Conversations on Aging coming up on WMUZ. Welcome back. Whether you're caring for a parent, a spouse, or planning your own future, we're glad you're with us. Now here's Wendy Jones with more Next Steps for Seniors Conversations on Aging.
Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors Conversations on Aging. We're moving into this segment, our third segment, and I just want to share a couple things because these decisions that we're making at end of life as far as elder law are a big deal. Hmm. They're estate planning, who things are going to, who the right person is to be your power of attorney. These are big decisions. And I want to just add that I believe the number one thing you should do before attacking any of this is to pray. Mm. It really is.
Yeah.
Seek God, get on your knees and just ask, you know, Lord, you show me, you see the future. He knows what's coming, and just commit it into his hands and say, help me find a way. Show me what the advantages of each step are and what I should do. And that's one of the reasons, Mike, you're here today, because you have a journey too, and you're a Christian, you're a believer. You're in a place where you really want to help people. And Mike and I both, I mean, we referred back and forth for years, but we just love to pray with people. We love to just, you know, intercede in situations. And the absolute first thing I do every single time I hear any voice or person in distress is I say, do you mind if I pray for you?
That's amazing.
It is the number one thing I go to. And if I had a dollar for every time that person would call me back at some point, whether it was the next day or the next hour, and be like, you're not going to believe this. Everything opened up. Dad got into the right rehab. I'm so blessed. Thank you for praying. He answered your prayers. But it's God that did it. Yeah. It's not me. We're just instruments, right?
Right. So good.
It's just so fantastic. So I want to just say that it's important to have an attorney that you trust. It's critically important, and you don't want to just go through the phone book or go to Google again. I mean, poor Google, I'm kind of smashing them today. But at the end of the day, you really want someone you trust that you can sit across the table and share your deepest concerns with.
Yeah.
And someone that believes the way you believe, and you have that unification. So share some of the things that people should be looking for in an estate planning attorney, because there are qualities you need to have.
No, you make an incredible point, because, you know, it's a very interesting process to go through estate planning and meet with attorneys and do all this stuff. You know, it's not like buying a car, right? When we buy a car, we look at it. We are like, okay, that probably is good. When we buy it, we drive it off the lot. We know that the engine works. We know there's air in the tires. We know that it functions the way we believe a car should function. Where with estate planning, it doesn't matter if it's your new lawyer out of law school or someone who's been doing it for 20 years, you're going to get a stack of paper, right? And the only way you're going to truly know if those papers do what you wanted them to do is once the thing happens, right? Like once you can't make decisions for yourself and someone goes and tries to use that power of attorney, does it work? Does it do the things you want it to do? When you pass away, does it avoid probate? Were all the assets in the trust? Like these things are not, you know, you just have to really lean into trusting the person that puts them in place for you, right? That's all we can do. We just have to trust that this person has the experience that we need. You know, we felt good about the person. They obviously will explain the documents to you, but they're not going to be tested for hopefully, you know, 15,
until you
20
need
years.
It, right?
Yeah. And we're all hoping that's way down the road,
right? So and at that moment is not when you want to find out.
Yeah,
it's not
so
accurate.
It's just a very unique thing. I think, you know, with anything else, meet with a couple. You definitely, you know, you want to do your due diligence and meet with a couple because you need to make sure that it's a good fit. Estate planning is not just a one-time transaction, right? You know, we all know of the stories that where maybe someone didn't update their documents and the wrong beneficiary was in their trust still because they did it 30 years ago. And, you know, now the wrong people are getting your stuff or whatever. Estate planning is really a relationship. And if the person you meet with makes it seem like it's a one-time transaction,
there's a problem already.
I might run right there. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't have some kind of plan for meeting often enough, like I always get asked the question, like, how often should I meet? Everyone says 3 to 5 years. In our office, we like to meet with our clients once a year just to have like, hey, how's everyone's health? Have you switched financial advisors? Have you changed banks? Have you any new grandkids? Like what's going on in your life? I just want to make sure the plan that we put in place for you a year ago still makes sense. Let's go through it again too, because often, you know, it's a little overwhelming to go through all this. So let's do a little repeat of like, what did we actually do here? I can't tell you how many clients I've run to out in the community. And they're like, thanks for putting in place that will last year for me. And I'm just like, yeah, that trust is great. You know, like I know they did a trust, but like, it's just, you know, it's something that people want to get done. They want to get it done quickly when it needs to happen.
Get through
but,
it. Yeah.
But like, it's really good to like sit down a year later and be like, okay, what did we do? Who do we need to provide these documents to? Did we get them to our doctor? Did we do all the things? So I think that's super important. You know, look at the experience of the person you're meeting with. Make sure it's the only thing they really do. I'd highly recommend against a couple things. Online documents, and then working with lawyers that do a million things, right? Jack of all trades, specialty
of master
none.
Of
master
none.
Of none. Yeah. Yeah, that's the saying. So I definitely look for someone, because especially in the elder law space, the laws change often. The nuances between that and just general estate planning are very specific. You know, work with someone who really knows what they're talking about when it comes to elder law.
So you just do elder law.
That's it.
You're not doing divorces
Nothing.
And all the other things that are out there, because there's a lot.
I couldn't keep up with
contracts.
It all. Yeah, I couldn't keep up with all the changes. There's no way. No, there's a team of like 20 of us, and it's all we do every day is try to get better at what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I help seniors too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you call my office and you're 52 or 55, chances are high, I'm going to have to send you to someone else, because I'm helping 62 and older.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my specialty. This is what I'm good at.
Yeah.
So we have to stay focused. So share a little bit about your journey. Mm-hmm. You know, what taught, I mean, I know I'm kind of holding your feet to the fire a little bit, but when I first met you, I mean, we both were struggling growing our businesses years ago. And, you know, God has a way of kind of entering into our lives and he just transforms us.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool when you get to watch it happen.
For sure.
We're going to have Mike on again, I'm sure, talking about his whole story. But just like a quick overview.
It's great. And I love to tell it. You know, so been in business for 20 years, you know, been trying to grow this thing, like number one estate planning in Michigan, you know, trying to do everything and anything to grow and whatever. And interestingly, I was served an ad on social media for this group called Rise Up Kings, and it's a men's Christian group, but I didn't know it at the time. So the ad I was served, I'm super into working out. This is where it ties all together.
Mm-hmm.
The ad was a bunch of guys doing CrossFit style exercises, military style exercises. And then there was a little classroom too. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much cooler than all the other business events I go to where you just sit in a classroom all day. You get to work out with all these guys and then go do classroom. So I'm like, I'll take a call. I'm in.
All they said was work out. And you're like, I'm in.
Totally.
Where do I sign?
It was amazing. And I was like, this is so good. And so I had a call with them.
But just real quick, that's exactly how God works.
Oh, I know.
I'm just saying, looking back, he's like, how do I get to Mike?
Yeah,
I know.
Totally. And so I have the call with the person and I'm like, this is not what I expected. We're like praying on the call, doing all the things. And I'm like, well, here's the deal. That's not what I was expecting, but I've tried everything else in business. I'll give this a go.
Wait, I just want to say, and I know this about you, because he showed me at least two or three groups. He's like, you really got to talk to this group. You should be part of this. Remember this? You got to talk to this one.
Yeah.
These guys are good.
Yeah.
And I was just like in my head going, man, I just don't have time to do all that right now. And now look at, this is it.
So I went out to the event. It's in Texas. It was a three-day transformational deep dive into your faith, your life, your soul, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We did no business. We didn't talk about the business at all.
Right.
What an incredible experience. And since that day, I've changed my life, my routines, everything. Now I read the Bible every single day. I journal about faith. And what has come to me as a result of changes in my life, I can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain other than it is his work.
Amen.
The people, the clients now that come to us, I end up sitting with clients that we're spending half the meeting praying, not talking about estate planning at all. Families who have come to me who said, I prayed over this and your name was the first thing that came on my Facebook account or whatever. The way he is working in my life, in my personal life, through my daughters, I mean.
You can't make it up.
I can't make it up.
That's the best part. That is the best part. And I'm just going to say this, God's favorite time to work is when you get to a point where you've tried everything and then all of a sudden you're like, God, I don't know what else to
do.
And then that's when that's it, because you're open to him. He's been there the whole time, just for the record.
Oh, totally.
Waiting for the moment that you just pay attention.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when you've tried it all, and we all know, we've all been there. I'm talking to myself too. You've tried everything and you're like, well, it's just not working.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my gosh,
And then just the small changes in life. Like my kids are like, Dad, we're going to church today? Excited.
Oh, no, they want to be there.
They're like, Dad, we're going to church. I'm like, you bet we are. Like, I can't even explain it. And I hope we do this again because I can tell the whole story. But
yes,
the way that he has been working in my life, personally, professionally, how we are sitting here at the table right now telling the story, it's absolutely
it's a game changer.
Life changing.
It is. It is. And I feel like God brought me to Mike too years ago. Yeah. And we've been praying. I've been praying for many, many, many years. And Mike called me one day and said, hey, I just want you to know something. I get it now.
Yeah.
All those years, all those conversations, he's like, I get it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I just remember sobbing on the phone. I was just like, thank you. Thank you for calling and telling me too. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes, and I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but sometimes you're talking to people about God and they're looking at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, you don't understand. I have to tell you something. And at the end of the day, you're just tripping and you're just sharing and somehow, some way, and God is the way maker and the miracle worker, and he puts it all together in a nice little package with a bow on top. And that's what he did for you. So praise God for that. Amen. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. And Mike Rakowski, one more time with your phone number.
248-792-9193.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
There's more to come on today's conversation. After the break, Wendy Jones continues helping you navigate the challenges and blessings of caring for seniors here on WMUZ. Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging on WMUZ. Here's your host, Wendy Jones.
Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging. I wanted to transition this segment and just share with everybody that our goal is every episode, the last segment of the show is going to be on our spiritual component. And what I mean by that, I mean that as we age and as we walk through life, we need God. We need the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. There are so many things that are going to come at us throughout life, but specifically, as we move forward with following the fifth commandment, honor thy father and mother, and your days will be long upon the earth. Our goal is to honor and respect our elders. And that is what we're going to focus on. When I say the spiritual components, we're going to go biblical, we're going to go deep, we're going to go all about God every single week. And it's going to be the last segment that will be that spiritual component. So you'll have that to look forward to. But we want to give you the practical tools as well as the spiritual, and they do tie together so perfectly. So moving into this segment, what I want to share with you is that Pastor Tim Helland, who is here with me today. How are you, Pastor?
I'm awesome. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Oh, it's a privilege to have you. It's always been a privilege. Pastor Tim and I have gone back, 30 years?
30 years.
it's been a minute. And we did outreach together back at Bethesda Christian Church. Tell them what we did.
We picked up an outreach ministry. They had maybe a dozen nursing homes and facilities, and we grew that to about 52 a month with 75 volunteers, and it turned into a full-fledged ministry with just to seniors, and it birthed
but
it was the stepping stone that someone was very instrumental in getting me from the business world into ministry, and forever I'm indebted to that person.
And here you are
who's
today.
On the other mic.
And here you are today. It wasn't me. It was God.
It was God.
But at the end of the day, this is what he had planned, to reach seniors. And we did it 30 years ago, and we're doing it today. And it's just a privilege. So I know that you're going to enjoy Pastor Tim Helland and that he always brings a fresh, revealing word that's good for all of us. Where nobody's judgmental, right? We all need God. We all need the word. God gave us this book, the greatest book ever sold, right? How many years ago? Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about guilt today. Guilt is a big, heavy word that I feel like a lot of people carry, and how that guilt transforms our lives into using the Word of God and the Spirit to lead us and guide us so that that guilt does not stay on us. And anyone right now who's feeling guilty about anything, you're listening to the right program.
Unfortunately, guilt is a part of the human condition. Fear is the number one tool of the enemy, Satan. he sows guilt into us to bring us to a place where we feel less worth about ourselves, and we begin to direct that at other people because not only do we feel guilty, but you're making me feel guilty. But let's talk for a minute, this microcosm of aging and caregiving. So often, and I lived there for 10 years. So I took care of my in-laws, my parents, an uncle, my brother, and they all died. Now, unlike the statistic, I remained alive. So I'm still here. But right there's guilt. They're dead, I'm alive. Or they start doing things that bother you, and you start feeling guilty for being bothered by somebody who really can't help it. That component of our reality, and it's not just cultural, it's human, brings us to a place where carrying a weight that we shouldn't, tied to something we can't control. Now, if it's us that did something, or somebody else does something to us, we feel bad. Now we feel guilty about that. The reality of the words of Jesus Christ on the cross, and I want to go here because we could talk about guilt all week, but there's a resolve to guilt that comes from the Father through the Son, and the words that we have are from Christ on the cross, where he says, you'll find them in Luke, I think it's in Luke 23, 33 and 34, he says, Father, forgive them. Here's the answer to the problem of guilt, forgiveness. But what he says next is so, the reality of what he's saying here is so deep and so vital in us understanding what he's doing and how do we handle guilt. He says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In looking at just my own life, and I look at my kids when they were kids, my kids as adults, I look at people that I counsel, I look at our accountability groups, our substance abuse groups. So we have these recovery groups, alcohol, narcotics. I go to the jail and I'm ministering to people in the jail, men who are really, really guilty of some really horrible things. The majority of the time, what I have found is these people, when I say these people, I mean we, us,
all of us.
Mm-hmm. Me, we really don't realize the full extent of the consequences of what we're doing when we do it. And as a matter of fact, alcoholics, narcotics, whatever, anybody with gamblers, we think it's the answer. Oh my gosh, here's this answer to my problem. And all of a sudden, we're just destroying our life. We're destroying relationships. We're destroying our kids. We're hurting our parents. Mm-hmm. And so on the cross, and what I love about this is when Jesus is at the height of his pain, after the nails are in, after he's been beat, after he's been whipped, after the crown's been put on his head, after he's been marched through town.
And they say you can't even literally recognize him at this point.
No. Most people didn't make it there. They died before they got there. Mm-hmm. So Jesus literally crawls his way to the hill, lays on the cross. Now, he's God. He formed the entire universe.
Right.
He could have done anything. He does nothing because he knows this is something he has to do in order to dispense to us as guilty people divine forgiveness.
Amen.
Now, only he can give that kind of forgiveness. But what does he teach us in his prayer? Matthew 6, he says, forgive us this day our debts. It says, we forgive our debtors, you forgive us. So how do we position ourselves to receive forgiveness from God? By forgiving other people. Now, culture would say, are you out of your mind? When somebody's guilty, justice, they need to be punished. How can you let somebody off? Well, I believe in justice. I do. But the most perfect form of justice that was ever shown to humanity was shown by Jesus on the cross at the moment when he was completely innocent. He had never done anything wrong. And he extends forgiveness to us in such a way that all of a sudden, everything we've ever done. Now, I go back to my years in addiction, horrible. And we'll talk about that because that's 47 years old, right? But let's move through life. There's so many things.
Everybody has something.
Not just what we've done, but what we're doing. It doesn't end there. He forgives everything we're going to do.
That's the power of the cross. The power, the wonder-working power of the cross. And that's what that means. Jesus died on that cross for all of our sins, all of our guilt, all of our everything, mm-hmm. so that we could be forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus and washed white as snow.
When we talk about taking care of someone as a caregiver, somebody puts their life, that the end of their life, they put like POA. So when you have the power of attorney, and now they're saying, I give you the power to determine how the rest of my life goes.
It's a big responsibility.
Oh, it's a huge responsibility. And then they hurt us and they start to say things and they start to do things. Oftentimes, it's just like Jesus said on the cross, they don't know what they're doing. And there's this prophecy concerning Jesus in Isaiah. It's in 53 verse 12, where it says, Jesus poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore no sins. Then he intercedes for us to the Father on behalf of us. The example that we have here of Christ is when somebody hurts you, it's not just forgiving them, but praying for them.
Amen.
And that example that you gave of that senior citizen who was robbed, you know,
violated.
Unfortunately,
I mean, there's so many things that go along with that.
And it happens so often. Now, I'm not in any way disparaging the facilities. How do you monitor this? How do you make sure nobody does? How do you, you know, it's almost impossible. And there's such a vulnerable target that people are targeting them. And yet here you have somebody saying, I forgive them and I pray for them. When we bring prayer into this, all of a sudden, it's not just that we're forgiving someone. Where does the healing start? It starts in the violated. And the greatest way to really begin to overcome guilt is to show people there is a higher power and there's a greater agenda. The higher power is God, and his agenda is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Is there an unfortunate reality that we all deal with guilt? Absolutely. But there's a divine answer.
Amen.
Through Christ.
And there you have it. That's the answer. Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll be right back with more conversations on aging here on WMUZ 103.5 The Light. Welcome back to Next Steps for Seniors, Conversations on Aging on WMUZ. Here's your host, Wendy Jones.
A special thank you to Mike Rakowski for joining us today and helping us better understand wills, trusts, and powers of attorney. Join us next Saturday at 11 a.m. with our guest, Dr. Pradhan. We will be discussing the importance of precancer screening, what you should know, and how early detection could make all the difference. We'll also close the program with another uplifting word of encouragement to inspire your week. You never know what God has planned for your future. Like Mike said today, he would have never thought his life would be so transformed that he's sharing his faith on the radio. So I want to encourage you today, leave room for the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Let's embrace this time in our lives and not be fearful of it. And remember the C5 initiative. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of Next Steps for Seniors Conversations on Aging. We hope today's conversation has given you helpful information and encouragement for the journey of caring for an aging loved one. You don't have to navigate these important decisions alone. Join us next Saturday at 11 a.m. for another edition of Next Steps for Seniors Conversations on Aging right here on WMUZ. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to cover, call 248-651-5010 or simply fill out the form at wmuz.com/c5. Until next time, may God bless you.